Welcome
What's
back
up?
To Corinth in Your Car. We're really glad that you are here with us and listening. It is Josh Moore and Luke Sayer. No Adam Turner today. Prior commitments that is keeping him out of the podcast room. And we are going to have a good time without him. We would have a better time if he was here. But we're going to have a good time without him. And we've got a lot to get to. So, Josh, let's just do some quick check-in type of questions like we normally do so that we can hear your voice. What's something from this last week that you're super grateful for?
I'm grateful for, in the people realm, grateful for my wife in this season of back to school and change, just really good job planning with meals and childcare and all that stuff. She's out tonight at a retreat. And so just a lot of stuff that's lined up that I didn't have to worry about. So grateful for that.
Love it.
Grateful for our small group that circled up. Grateful for our school and our kids' teachers. Care about them. So yeah, grateful for a lot.
Yeah.
You?
That's a good list right there. Yeah, lots of things. Thinking about people. Grateful for our small group leaders. Grateful for our friends that continue to help just move and pack and offer to take care of some stuff with their chainsaws because I don't have a chainsaw yet and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, you're drinking out of a cup that was unpacked.
So
thankful for whoever unpacked that box.
Right. There you go. That was probably Tristan. going through all of the different things. But yeah, grateful for that. Grateful that the rain stayed away on Tuesday night so that I could play disc golf with some of the guys here at the church. Quick commercial.
Commercial.
If you want to try playing disc golf, you don't even have to have a disc. I'll let you throw some of mine.
Mm-hmm.
You just come. Text
That's
me.
Great.
Get a hold of me. Tuesday nights we play
at
Heritage Pines, 6:30.
Great.
So get on out, man.
Yes.
Enjoy. We always pray together at the end. Would love to teach you some disc golf and hopefully you become hooked just like I am. So that was great. We were worried that we were going to have to call it halfway through because it looked like a storm was going to run in.
Mm.
But it did not. It stayed away. So I'm grateful for that. What's something from this last week that you laughed at?
Ooh, that I laughed at. Oh man, today I was dying in CLC class because one of the students, you know her, just is very, very joyful.
Uh-huh.
And oh my gosh, she got tickled about something and would not stop laughing.
Yeah.
And then the girls next to her started laughing and then the whole van started laughing. So it was great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot at one of the games that we played with the high school students and middle school students on Sunday and Wednesday night. I made up this game called Who Did It Best Movie Character Impressions. And so called up a couple of the teenagers to come and do movie character impressions and watching them try to embrace it and sometimes do it really well and then sometimes just fall completely flat and fail.
Yep.
That was quite entertaining. By far the best one was, I had, I forget his name. It's not even a real character. It's just the pirate in the photo frame for the SpongeBob theme song.
I don't even know anything about SpongeBob. So yeah, you got
Well, it's the theme. You know, the theme song. You would
it
recognize
was after,
the theme song.
I never watched SpongeBob. Yeah. It was after me.
Well, it's what the kids would call it is a brain rot. Like doesn't do anything for you. That was I put him up there for the theme song and just
that's funny.
Yeah, I was cracking up. That was a good one. What's a food you enjoyed this last week?
Let's see. Ooh. So we like Provino's.
Yeah.
And especially the salad. Especially all of it, but especially the salad is fun.
You,
it's kind of
you
unique.
Ask them to
no
keep,
beets.
I was
no
about
beets.
To say you ask them to keep the beets out, right?
All the beets, But anyway, I found online, you know, everyone has their like copycat recipes and stuff. So there was a copycat recipe for the Provino salad.
Nice.
And we made it and loved it so much that we had it with dinner the first night, ate a ton of it. Then Sasha ate it for lunch the next day.
Yeah.
And then we ate it and had it for dinner the next day.
Wow.
And I believe she's having it for lunch today.
So nice.
Four straight meals. But yeah, that's been fun. The copycat Provino salad.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah. How about you?
Tuesday night, I used my grill for the first time since we moved.
Hey.
And that was fun. Grilled some chicken and asparagus and corn.
Just the best.
It's the best dinner ever is whenever everything you eat was on the grill.
Yeah.
Right? Like you just throw everything on the grill all at one time. It's all done about the same time, and man, that was enjoyable. So very, very good. I also, I did eat a frozen Red Baron classic pepperoni pizza this week, and man,
sometimes that hits the spot.
Those are so good. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness, sometimes I could.
You ate the whole thing, I assume.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's
even though there's technically five servings or whatever they say. Yeah. There's no way.
Right.
No
way. Five servings. No way. No way. Now, the amount of calories is equivalent to five servings.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, hey, let's jump into the podcast thing. I don't have in the news because I'm chasing around too many high school and middle school students and don't have time to read any news, but. The news is Josh delivered a fantastic sermon yesterday as you listen. And this is in the marriage series called In the Ring, Having a Marriage That's Worth Fighting For.
There we go. Nailed it.
Got it. That, for those of you that...
Next week, it's time to change series.
Yeah, I know, right? As soon as I got it down. Yeah. For our listeners, I've been struggling with that subtitle for the last 4 weeks. Like, I have not been able... to say it. I keep wanting to say how to, or
I haven't been
when to,
better,
all that
really,
stuff.
So.
I just haven't been. So I've really tried hard to get it that time. Having a marriage worth fighting for. And today was all about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what love is, what love is not, and all that sort of stuff. What I would love for you to do is to retell one or two of the intro stories that you talked through, because I just thought those were super, super fun.
Yeah.
Wayne and Emma Louise, or Gordon and Norma. So,
well,
pick your poison.
Pick my poison. Well, I'm going to go with Wayne and Emma Louise because, I mean, those are, you know, now if you listen to the sermon, but those are my grandparents.
Okay.
And it was honestly just a really cool week to be texting back and forth with my mom. She's sending me pictures. She's retelling me the story. And I felt like it was a really cool thing for her as well, just to say, oh, man, I love this story. And so for her to get to share it all over again. But it's just a sweet story. You know, you could write a movie about it.
Yeah.
High school senior, or he might have been just graduated. Either way, young man, 18 years old or so.
Yeah.
Moves from Nebraska to Montrose, Colorado, walks into a soda shop, and they called them soda jerks, which are funny.
Right.
It's just people that made the sodas. That's Emma Louise, and she sees this cute guy and gets so flustered she spilled the drink on him.
Yeah.
And anyway, it didn't stop their conversation, and he went home and said, Mom, I found the girl I'm going to marry today.
Yeah.
And 6 months later they were.
Yeah.
And so just a sweet story. They were married for 63 years. And of course, just means a lot to me because at the end of the sermon, we kind of
circled back to it,
call back to it. And he was, for the last 7 years of her life, as she faded with dementia, Alzheimer's, confined to a wheelchair, or a bed or a wheelchair kind of thing. He's pushing her around three or four or five times a day.
Yeah,
and sometimes she doesn't even know who it is that's doing it, and it's her husband of 60 years.
Right,
and it's super powerful for me to look at that heritage and say, I want a marriage like that, because it is about love today, or the sermon, but it was not just love; it's enduring love, it's faithful love, it's, you know, 50, 60 years kind of love that we want to shoot for.
Right.
So
yeah, and the observation you made as you jumped into the sermon is that we love stories like that, like everybody. You said could make a movie about it, right? Like you could, and people would go see it, or they would, you know, one of the things that just like boggles my mind is how many people love Hallmark movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're terrible. And it's the same thing
over and over again.
And yet, you know, from November to January 5th, people are watching those holiday love stories yep. over and over and over and over again. And it's like, yeah, they're going to be interested in each other, but then there's going to be a conflict, and then the conflict's going to get resolved, and then they're going to be with each other. Yep. And usually it's going to involve some lawyer that moved to New York City and is too big for the small town or something like is. And yeah. yet, yeah. because it's surrounding love and romance and all those different things, we love stories like that. Mm-hmm. Problem is, you mentioned stories of faithful love, 50, 60, 70 years even, mm-hmm. a little bit harder to notice, a little bit more rare. And you mentioned some of the reasons that they feel rare. It's just the unfortunate stats about marriages that don't last, which leads to what I'm getting at is kind of your takeaway phrase that kind of set up the framework for this sermon. Mm-hmm. Lasting love doesn't happen by accident. So for Wayne and Emma Louise, faithful love for over 60 years doesn't mm-hmm. happen by accident.
Yeah.
So why does that phrase kind of help frame up for where you're going with this message?
Well, I mean, it's the proverbial, you know, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it.
Okay.
Right. And men ought to aim high. And so eventually, hopefully, they will get it. And so aim high. Lasting love, like, that should be what we're trying for. And like we've said every week of the series, even if you are not married or haven't been married or you're divorced, whatever your story is, the principles of how to be a faithful person for a long, long time, they all still take
it's
away.
Applicable. And we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians 13, and I would just say that as well for those of you who aren't married. Mm-hmm. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not a wedding verse.
It's not
a marriage verse. It's to the church.
And it was specifically, this is more than I got into in the sermon.
Sure.
Just because the sermon is in a marriage series. But if we were preaching just
textually through 1 Corinthians.
Expositorially, yeah. Through 1 Corinthians, you wouldn't hear me talk about marriage at all.
Right.
Because that's not the context. The context of this book is to a church that's fighting. And it's interesting,
correct.
Really, 12, 13, and 14 are all one big section about orderly worship and how to respect each other in worship.
Yeah.
And it really is quite funny. I gave a few examples in the message, but there are 15 verbs in 1 Corinthians 13 about uh-huh. love, what to do and what not to do, all that stuff.
Sure.
And you really can cross-reference every single one of them and go back to another part of 1 Corinthians and reference, hey, Paul said love is patient. Well, you can go to this other part of 1 Corinthians and see where the Corinthians were not being patient.
Right.
Love is kind. Well, you can go to this other part of 1 Corinthians and see where they're not being kind.
Yeah.
So on and so forth for every single one of the 15.
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic that Paul's going, hey, you guys know what love isn't because you're right. all doing that. So do the opposite.
Well, and he's reminding the church who it is that they're called to be.
Yeah.
Like, we are called to be people of love, and here's what love looks like, and we need to get better at it. And
yeah, and really, so, another thing I really didn't go into specifically was just how Paul doesn't say love is characterized by patience. He says love is patient, and it's almost like it's a personification is what it is.
Right.
And it's your eyes on Jesus. As you read this text, you should think about him.
Yeah,
because he is the example of love that we are all to imitate, and really the only perfect one. I mean, literally the end, it says love never fails. What the actual kind of Greek says, love never completely falls away.
Okay.
You know, so of course our love is going to, we're going to fall short sometime.
Sure.
But to have love like Jesus means we keep coming back. We don't ever go away.
Well, that's it. We keep coming back. Endure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Faithful.
Yep.
Certainly going to be a blessing as we keep rolling through it. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and then we'll just kind of dive into what you talked about, just the description here, what love isn't and what love really actually is. So here's what we're told. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Mm-hmm. Love never fails. Love never falls mm-hmm. away.
Yep.
So in the sermon, you went through what love isn't, and you walked through the text. You said, like, highlighted all of these things. Remind us of where you went, and then let me ask a couple of questions about this.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I didn't want to get super deep into, you know, Greek word definitions or things like that. It's just, sure. It's pretty basic. Paul says, you know what love isn't, because here's all these examples. So there's 15 verbs. A lot of them are negative. Love does not envy. And then, of course, you can cross-reference and where the Corinthians were envious, so on and so forth.
Sure.
So then he says what love is, and there's a few positive actions, right? So love is patient. Mm-hmm. And if you're imagining a boxer, it's like absorbing blows, right? So in your marriage, in your relationships, you're going to have to absorb some blows.
Right.
There's going to be a word that was said, and you're just going to have to, in the application, we get to just let it go.
Yeah.
Because they said it because someone else was mean to them at work or school or wherever it was, and they're just taking it out on you. So absorb the blow, be patient, be kind.
Right.
That's what love
is. The whole idea of patience is patience is the same as, not necessarily the same as, but it is very close to endurance. Because patience is long suffering.
That's literally what it says
in
the original.
I'm going to suffer for a long time.
Literally, the words in the original language says suffers long.
Right.
So absorb the blows.
Yeah, and that's I think that's important. I think sometimes we have, I think sometimes when we think patient, we think slow, which certainly that's a part of patience.
Sure.
But often you label somebody impatient because they're just moving from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily call that impatient. I'd just call that hurried.
Hurried.
Mm-hmm. Impatient would be the ability, or impatient would be, I can't endure or suffer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But patience is, you know what? I don't know why this is an example. This is the most immediate example, but just like, you know what? The kid is doing something that's annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to endure it. That's patience, right? Like that's what this is. It's not the ability to not be able to sit still for a minute. It's long suffering.
Right. Yeah. Patience, I think what you're getting at here, tell me if I'm hearing you correctly, is patience isn't just for a moment. Patience is for a season or a month or a year. It's like, hey, this season of our life, we need patience. And that means we're going to suffer long.
Right.
So, yeah. And so what is love? Well, it's agape. It's that Greek word. And just a reminder for many, but maybe a teaching for many as well. Just Paul had four different words he could use for love.
Yeah.
And so he did not use familial love. He did not use brotherly love or romantic love. He used the love that's used of God, how God loves us. So once again, we look to Jesus and copy from him.
Which one of these, I'll speak on this as well, but which one of these is one of the more difficult ones for you?
Which one of the four loves?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, just not one of the four loves, just one of the descriptions of love one of the personifications of love. Which one do you find
at the end,
wrestling with and struggling to put into practice more than others?
So always protects, always trusts, always hopes, or always perseveres, or just all of them?
So like for me, love keeps no record of wrongs. Probably the one that I struggle with the most,
mm-hmm.
because I love and I want to forgive and I do my best to forgive, but the temptation often to bring something back up either in my own mind or verbally out loud is often there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this one's really, really difficult for me. So I have to be really intentional about whenever something comes back up that like, hold on. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So it's as if that situation has never happened. That's tough for me to do. So that's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I was not tracking for a little bit, but I got it now. I'll just, be vulnerable. I know about myself that naturally, this has been true since, high school and stuff, where it's easy to sort of make fun of another person, because in putting them down, you think it's going to make you look better, even though it doesn't quite work like that. So this phrase, love does not dishonor others and it's not self-seeking,
mm-hmm.
is one that I do have to watch out for. Because it'll be, there's even a proverb that says, I forget where it is, but it says something like, just how foolish it is to basically mock another person and laugh and then say, oh, I was only joking.
Yeah.
There's probably too much truth in that. So that's just, you know, vulnerable. That's a thing for me. I got to watch out.
I told a middle school student last week, I heard him say something to his sister that was no offense, but
yeah,
and then said something completely out of left field and kind of mean. I pulled him aside. I was like, hey, man, just because you said no offense doesn't mean that there will not be offense taken because what you just said was kind of messed up, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. We got to be careful about the way that we speak of others and to others.
That's a natural thing I got to fight against. I think all of us as human nature, like, we are self-seeking.
Yeah.
But that little contrast there of it doesn't dishonor others, but it is, and it's also not self-seeking. That kind of, those two work together.
Right. A lot.
So, yeah. Good question.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. This isn't a description of love as a feeling. Love is here 15 verbs, and it's personified into the image of Jesus, which is where you get the language in 1 John, right? Like, God is love. Mm-hmm. Love is God.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 Corinthians 13 definitely is a description of what that looks like. So you're asking the question because the whole sermon today is about how to build lasting love that looks mm-hmm. like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How do we remain faithful for decades upon decades upon decades? And you just had some wisdom for people, some really, really great ideas that we can put into practice. And one of them is to practice this one that we already talked about, patience.
Yeah.
Practice patience. So this might be fun. Let's brag on our own wives. You get to brag on Sasha. I get to brag on Tristan. What is maybe a way or a humorous way or a regular way or a frustrating way that they have to practice patience with us?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah. Because I know that I'm not easy to live with and to be married to. Yeah. I imagine that you feel the same way about yourself.
So my socks sometimes don't make it to the hamper.
Yeah, I would hope they don't make it to the hamster.
I don't think we own a hamster, but I could be wrong. So the socks don't make it to the hamper. Let's see. I sometimes can be very guilty of not listening well because something else is on my mind and I'll just have to be like, what? And she's very patient to repeat herself.
Yeah.
Those are a few definite examples.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes when I'm like, my dad.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Focus on something else. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think that I don't know if she would say the same thing. I might ask her this question later and say, hey, if you were hosting a podcast that no one listened to and you could say whatever you wanted to say, what would you say? But I think one of the things that she has to be patient with me about is that she is a lot more of like the relaxed, likes to be still, chill, rest, sit for long periods of time.
Yep.
You know, Christ-like, not be hurried. I do not operate like that. I constantly am moving from one thing to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot sit still for long periods of time. I have to get up off the couch and do something. I have to go out and play disc golf. I have to do something around that. Like, I just always am moving. And even when I'm sitting, if I am sitting, I'm usually like my leg is moving or I'm fidgeting with something. And I'm sure that drives her crazy, but she's patient, you know,
yeah.
And she allows for me to go about those things. I also smell bad because I'm a dude and she's very patient with me in that way. So what are some tips and tricks that you would just have come to your mind? We were trying to help our people be more patient with one another, with their spouse. What are some tips and tricks that you would recommend for how to build patience and practice that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question because that's some stuff that was added to the message after you had seen it and read through it or whatever, perhaps, because that really what was missing is we had a lot of stories, but I hadn't put as much hey, go try this. And so there's some of that in there with every point now. And so here's a few things I would
think. So what are we going to try?
Yeah. So I would think the two things I would have for this is just in those moments when it happens again, the toilet paper is not replaced or the toothpaste cap is off or the lights are on and they should be off or whatever. Just don't react. Just pause, take a breath, and give them a break. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Right. So don't make it a big deal. And then I think this is a huge question or a huge step as well. Just get curious and ask, I wonder what the thing beneath the thing is. Mm-hmm. So your wife, your husband says something to you. There's probably something beneath that.
Sure.
Somebody at work popped off at them. They didn't sleep well last night. They got a migraine, something.
Right.
Just get curious. Because I think instead of filling in their blanks for them, just wonder. I wonder what it is.
Yeah.
There's usually a thing beneath the thing.
That's really, really good. Love it. Let's try that as we practice patience. Here's the next thing that you said we need to start doing in order to build lasting love is to imitate our heroes. So super fun question. You already mentioned Emma and Wayne.
Yeah.
But who are some others that come to mind as far as like marriage heroes of yours that you just love and value?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to pick a few. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm playing favorites or things like that. Like, first of all, too, I gathered a lot of stories. I couldn't tell every story that I heard and I couldn't text every person that I know here at Corinth. So thank you for everyone that helped with this message and thank you for continuing to help. But anyway, one person that jumps to mind is Will and Kim Helms. They just go into their house. The word peace, I just feel when I walk over there, it's unhurried. It's gentle. It's peaceful. It's kind. It's glad you're here. It's woodworking and food in the kitchen and homemade tables. And it's just super fun.
So, yeah. Love that. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, the low hanging fruit, you know, is my parents and Tristan's parents and the marriages that happened before them, grandparents and all that sort of stuff. We are blessed to have legacy in both of our family trees of just people who love each other and stay together. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Tristan's mom, Beth, just threw a big 60th wedding anniversary party for her parents. So Tristan's grandparents. And it was just cool to hear stories of 60 years of faithful love and all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of the familial low hanging fruit that comes to mind. But we could probably sit here for 20 minutes just naming different people at Corinth. This is a church that has tons.
There's a lot of six percenters at this church.
Right. Yeah.
Who get six percenter is somebody who gets to the golden anniversary of 50 years.
Right. Yeah.
Only 6% of marriages do that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. Yeah.
So here's the question. So you say imitate your heroes. You obviously, you and I can think of so many different people. Like, why does this help? And how do we go about putting ourselves into position to do this? So like, what is the thing that we do here when it comes to imitating our heroes?
Yeah. Some of this is, you know, what we said before about making sure you're in the right circles. You know, Adam talked about that last week. So whether it's a small group, a class, a serve team, just kind of naturally surrounding yourself. But I think you can go next level as well. And, you know, maybe you have gone to the marriage seminar class or whatever, and you see, oh man, that couple, they've been married for 30, 40 years. And I think they got some wisdom. So
yeah,
they'll be delighted if you ask them to coffee.
Right.
Ask, like, have them over to your house, ask them to coffee and just say, I want to hear your story.
Yeah.
You know, and I would start with just, let me hear your story, because
everybody loves to tell their story.
And wisdom is going to come out from just telling the story.
Right.
Where if you might say, hey, categorize the five greatest truths that I need to live out in my marriage. Like, that might not be something or, that they're comfortable doing or right. feel confident to do, but they should.
Yeah.
But
and here's another yeah. bad one. Tell me how to put up with them because yeah. you've put up with exactly. them for 60 years. No, that's not good either.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a quick action step. Just ask somebody to go to coffee. You know, learn the yeah. story and gain wisdom.
I love it. Number three, seek God's provision. You told just a really great story about a couple here at the church who went through something really hard. And coming out of that story, you shared the line that was shared with you that said this: we could endure through every circumstance as long as we were in it together and remembered that God was in control, seeking God's provision.
Yeah.
When two people are equally yoked, love the Lord, honor God, pursue Him together, they're headed in the same direction, seeking God, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I mean, I think that the focus for both is on that end goal, right? It's not, hey, how are you pleasing me today? It's like, how is God leading us to tomorrow? Mm-hmm. You know, and when you have that commitment, I just loved how they said it. We could endure through every circumstance as long as we knew we were together. Number one. Well, number one is God is in control.
Right.
And we were together in it.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So really great wisdom there. And, what can you do? Just seek God together. So
yeah.
the action step, the challenge there was, pray together. If you're already in the habit, let's name something specific that we're going to seek God together. If you're not, let's just pray out loud together one day this week, even yeah. if it feels awkward.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I love it.
So,
yeah. Next one is to embrace forgiveness. Let me ask you this question. I certainly have some thoughts on this one, but just what makes forgiveness difficult, especially just in the relationship of husband and wife? What makes forgiveness difficult and hard?
I think the intimacy and the closeness, you feel betrayed, perhaps. You feel you've been vulnerable. You've given, I mean, everything of yourself to the other person.
Right.
Body, soul, mind, like all of it. You're one flesh. Like,
yeah.
And so, I mean, it feels like yourself has turned on you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is a big deal.
Yeah, no, that's huge. One of the things that Tristan and I identified pretty early on in our marriage is, oh my goodness, I love you more than I love anybody else in the world. You love me more than you love anybody else in the world. How is it that we hurt each other more than anybody else in the world?
Oh, that's exactly why.
It's exactly why. Because of the intimacy mm-hmm. And the vulnerability that both of us have with one another, just as husband and wife. It's like, oh, of yeah. course we, of course I can say something or do something that would hurt you deeply mm-hmm. that if somebody else did or said, wouldn't yeah. faze you at all.
Nope.
No, it's that. And so that in and of itself makes it really difficult because you can wound each other deeply without really even trying much.
yeah.
And so forgiveness becomes all the more important. I think just with forgiveness in general, both in a relationship with your spouse, in a relationship with others, I think this is how Jesus would present forgiveness with the parable of the wicked servant. We're bad at forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard because we don't think we have done anything wrong.
yeah, that's
like we forget we've been forgiven. That's the whole thing. Like by not just by God, but by our spouse as well. So like we're too proud. Why would I forgive you? You know, I've not done.
Yeah, I mean, it's always stuff.
There's just so much pride in it.
It's so much easier to see the fault in someone else than in ourselves. You know, we forgive ourselves because we always have the explanation. Well, I said that because I was tired. But we don't give other people the benefit of the right. doubt naturally.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important point too.
Yeah.
So
you did have this note in the sermon. I think it's maybe important to reiterate it here as well. Because in the context of a marriage, embrace forgiveness for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you a minute to kind of reiterate what you said with the clarity and clarifying that forgiveness does not equal staying in an abusive relationship, if all that sort of stuff. So just maybe take a minute to give that kind of note and caveat there as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, God definitely calls us to forgive some really tough things. And there are incredible stories of restoration after some really bad things have happened.
Yeah.
So with that being said, some people, just because I know of how incredible their hearts are, they end up being tempted to stay in a place for too long because they think, well, I just have to keep on forgiving God.
Right.
And it's toxic, abusive, unrepentant relationships. So that really was the clarifier, was the reason that story I told worked was because someone was praying and choosing to hope and forgive and persevere.
Right.
And eventually the other one repented.
Yeah.
And if one person is not repentant, it's not going to happen. The restoration is not going to happen.
Right.
So it takes one person to forgive. It takes one person to repent.
Yeah.
It takes two to restore.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Love it. So we're going to embrace forgiveness. And then the last one is we're going to persevere through pain. And here's kind of a generic question about this, because, man, one of the things that I've noticed about our culture, students growing up, honestly, even about their parents too, just everybody, there is not an endurance muscle right now.
No,
nobody has an endurance muscle.
Yep.
Why do you think we do not have endurance muscles, and how do we develop one? But just, have you noticed this too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Some of it, I believe, is just natural human behavior. Because as I raise kids, that is something we have to actively teach,
right,
coach, and not just model, but let them do it. Like let them flex that endurance muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just natural human behavior, because I mean, my kids are 11 and 10 and 8. And so it's not like they're hugely influenced by culture yet. I mean, they certainly are.
Right.
But as people grow and you get into your teens and 20s, it's definitely influenced by culture. And culture, for a while, we have given people bailouts, or we have made, I don't know, man, just, you know, not to get too much on the soapbox or whatever, but just everybody gets a ribbon. Or it doesn't.
Sure.
The grades don't matter. You're going to advance anyway. Just pick your poison. It's a lot of just expecting things to be handed to me. What was the term? Helicopter parents, and then bulldozer parents, and snowplow parents that don't let their kids fail, and then they become parents themselves. And
right.
Anyway, it's just, we got to watch out for it, all of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think. If we were gonna screw tape letters this for a minute and just get into the mind of our enemy,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I think one of the things that I would do if I was trying to drive people away from God is offer them easy way outs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's what he tried to do with Eve and with Jesus.
Right. And so I'm thinking about just even not necessarily enduring difficulty, but just like even temptation, like you're tempted in one way. Are you going to endure to overcome that temptation, or are you going to take the easy way out and say, no, I actually don't think that what I'm tempted with is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to endure. I'm just going to embrace easy. And then all of a sudden we're far from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that, but it is also just like difficult. Like we, are growing up in a culture that has a ton of people that do just genuinely does not believe they can do hard things.
Well, I mean, like, part of that is some things aren't even sinful, but it's just the culture that we surrounded ourselves that we're in, we're swimming in, where things can be delivered to us the same day,
mm-hmm,
if we order it. So, hey, guess what? I'll just use myself as an example. Last year before school started, I think it was Dominic that needed shoes.
Uh-huh.
And we, as parents, Sasha and I, failed to see that he didn't have the shoes he needed.
Okay.
No worries, because 2 days before school started, we could ship the exact ones we needed from Amazon, and we were bailed out.
Right.
We did not have to suffer for our lack of preparation because there was a system that rewards it, that says, hey, it doesn't matter. It can be at your house tomorrow.
Right.
And there's part of that that's cool.
Yeah.
But there's also part of it that is just, it's not sinful, right? It's just what we're in.
Right.
So,
well, I'm even thinking about just in all the years of teaching CLC, asking a sixth or a seventh grader to write a paragraph, 3 to 5 sentences, and to watch them, not because, I don't think because they're lazy, although sometimes that's certainly the case.
It's a mixture of both, I think.
It's, they genuinely don't know how to endure long enough to think about what they're going to write. And so they just struggle, and they sit and they look at a blank page, and it's like, what do I don't, we don't have an endurance muscle. So maybe talk through, before we talk about maybe in the marriage context, but just how do we get better at endurance? How do we develop this muscle?
Yeah. I mean, illustration is used a lot of times with just if it is physical things, like you do go work out, or you do go on a walk, you do go on a run, you do something like that. I think there's habit stacking here, where one thing would make one thing like a domino effect, where you can stack those habits, and you do get one area of your life in control. It's easier to do something else. So maybe it's not even exercise, but maybe it's, hey, I want to be a person who reads more. So you start building that muscle, and you say, I'm going to read a page a day, and then it becomes 2, and then 10, and then a chapter, or whatever. If it's food, then it's denying yourself of what is kind of a temptation for you. If it's patience you want to develop, then you on purpose get in the long line, or go in the speed limit in the slow lane. And just get the rest of your life used to, enduring things that are difficult and saying yes to things that are hard. And then you're ready for it in marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, ruck packs or weighted backpacks, they're like getting popular now. Have you seen these?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. Like, why do we need that? Why do we need that? Why don't we, anyway, but it's a good practice just to do something hard.
Let me ask a follow-up question. This isn't even podcast right now. Like, I'm just verbally processing through some things and picking your brain, because I'm thinking through this as well. Just in regards to student ministry, one of the places I see people get is they don't have endurance, and that maybe often is because of apathy. So, like, you know, I'm just thinking about someone who is going through something really hard, or is in a difficult season, and they're listening to this message, or they're listening to this conversation, and the word is, man, persevere through the pain, and here's how you persevere. I imagine there's a lot of people who are just at a point where it's like, well, I don't really want to. I don't want to because I have no motivation. I don't want to because I don't really feel anything about this. I don't want to because the main thing that I have is just apathy for everything. I'm at this point. I see that a lot. With people that I'm ministering to, is just like, even students, like, like, how do I read the Bible when I don't want to? Like, it's not like, I know it's something I should do, it's something that I can do, but truthfully, I just don't want to. How do I pray when I just don't really want to? How do I, there's no desire, and it's not because they don't want the things that come along with it. It's just because gotten to a point where they're just apathetic about things. What would you say to these people? Like, I've got some ideas that I'm thinking through, but just like, when apathy becomes the thing here, what do we have?
I don't know. I mean, one answer that we've gone back to before is that it's okay not to feel it.
Sure.
As if you can sometimes act, often you can act your way into feeling.
Sure.
I mean, I see that with my kids a lot, where they don't want to do something, but we take them there anyway.
Yeah.
And they enjoyed it afterwards.
Sure.
You know, whether that be a camp or an event, something like that, or a birthday party, or just, I mean, honestly, even some things like going to bed on time. They're like, no,
right.
But then they do. And they're like, they're happy for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's part of it too, but, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm processing through it. I think one of the things that I'm thinking through is what I would tell someone is, well, at the very least, stop the bad habits that got you to feeling apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like often apathy just doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from, habits that we've gotten ourselves into that have numbed us, and made us apathetic. So you're not going to want to do anything in the positive direction until you stop doing things in the negative direction.
Mm-hmm.
So let's knock out those bad habits that may be rewiring your brain or making you feel nothing. But yeah, processing that one. So maybe in a couple more episodes, we'll have some more answers. But I would also just say this, if in your relationships, if in your life, if in your marriage, apathy is what you feel, red flag, get help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to persevere through the pain. Let's end with a positive question on this side, but just how does persevering through pain help couples come out on the other side stronger?
Well, you're talking about building a perseverance muscle. So, I mean,
right.
Just in that language, as you flex a muscle and it breaks down and rebuilds, you're literally building that muscle. So start with something small, just a daily, act of service. Don't quit in the hard season.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Boland said something last night. He said, I'm so thankful that God gives us more tomorrows than crisis. Like there's more tomorrows than crises, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just true. Like, remember, today is hard and it's okay to admit that. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. It's okay.
Yeah.
But remember, the God who made you and made the world, there are more tomorrows than there are problems.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Walk us through your bottom line and your challenge, and then we'll wrap it up for the day.
Yeah. Bottom line says our love can endure because God's love never ends. And really, I chose that just because, I mean, that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is. It's, of course, as human beings, we're going to fail at these, but God's love doesn't. He shows us how. Jesus is the perfect example. So that's an inspiration to us, I believe. And then one word for 1 week was the challenge. And basically, just reread 1 Corinthians 13. And like you did earlier, you said, which one is the biggest challenge?
Yeah.
That's what I want you to do. So if it's the biggest challenge is to keep no record of wrongs, man, make that your focus this week, every day. Lord, help me to keep no record of wrongs.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. So
yeah. Love it.
That's cool. It.
Good stuff. Great sermon series. We're going to wrap things up with a game called Iconic Love Duos.
All right.
And we're going to roll through some different trivia. Try to see if you can guess the duo that did the thing that describes them.
So yeah, nice.
I think you'll get the first one pretty easy. Maybe. I don't know. But this couple helped save the galaxy in the most popular sci-fi movie series ever made.
You know, Luke, Han Solo and Leia?
Yeah, there okay. You go. Boom. Han Solo and Leia is the correct answer, yeah. Okay? These beloved animated TV parents have been around since 1989. I don't think I don't think they're beloved by you.
Yeah. TV parents, golly, is it
animated.
Is it The Simpsons?
Yeah, yeah. Homer and Marge. There you go. Boom.
Yeah.
This magical couple met at a school. Oh my gosh, named Hogwarts. Too easy.
Well, I don't know their names truly, but it's Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, it's Hermione.
I don't know her name.
Well, it's
Granger
and Ron.
Okay.
Ron.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah. That's okay. All right, let's keep rolling. I haven't previewed this game. I just downloaded it and pulled it up just now.
That's funny.
Long after this prequel love duo made it into the theaters, Katniss Everdeen came on the scene.
Oh, man. Is this Hunger Games?
It's Hunger Games.
I don't know the other one. I don't know the love duo.
The actual people.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I just know that Katniss is the only person I know.
Katniss Everdeen.
And that's from Hunger Games, yeah.
There you go. These two geniuses had a hilariously awkward romance on a hit TV sitcom.
I don't know.
This one is Sheldon Cooper.
Oh, and okay. Amy
from The Big Bang Theory. This is a bad game.
This show's
terrible
funny.
Prompts. That is a.
I mean,
what I love about that show is it took a lot of intelligent writing to be funny in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Like the people who wrote that show are very, very smart, intelligent with their words and crafting together stuff. Mm-hmm. These two shared their first TV kiss at the Dundies.
Oh, uh-huh. So, I mean, is it Jim and Pam?
It's Jim and Pam. Yeah.
Nice.
Gotta love the Dundies, man. The romance of these two pirates was overshadowed by the quirky Captain Jack Sparrow.
Ah, so... Oh, it's Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
It's Legolas. I forgot his name.
Will Turner.
Will Turner. Yeah.
Will Turner.
So what I like to do is, you know, everyone says Pirates of the Caribbean.
You say Caribbean.
So I say Caribbean to, what?
Yeah. What, do you remember the actress or character name?
No, I'm the worst. Yeah.
Elizabeth Swan.
Yeah.
So Will Turner and Elizabeth Swan, yes. Orlando Bloom, and I think, was it Keira Knightley?
Yeah, that's it.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay. Stranger Things, then this couple's romance have happened on other TV shows.
Yeah, I don't know the Stranger Things characters.
Yeah, it's them.
Yeah.
Stranger Things characters. 11, I guess that's the name of a character. I've never seen Stranger Things.
I never have either, yeah.
Good for us. the stunning redhead is half of the iconic love duo from before color TV existed. I think you can get this one. So black and white TV, redhead.
Dude, I am blanking right now. I don't know.
This is Lucy and Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, okay. All right.
I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy.
That is an incredible show, by the way.
That's fun.
In Hollywood, creepy serial killers and brilliant FBI agents can fall in love.
I don't know.
It's the Silence of the Lambs story.
Ooh. I don't think I've ever seen that movie either.
All right. This is the last one. In a tale as old as time, an unlikely love duo steal the hearts of viewers.
We just watched Beauty and the Beast. So Belle and, you know, Prince, whatever his name is,
the Beast. Yep.
Friday night, the real life version. So,
yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, good stuff.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, Josh, appreciate you and the hard work you put into the message for this Sunday morning. I know it was a blessing to our people. We will be back next week. Is it the start of a new series this week, or are we in week five?
No, we're rolling into
week one of Acts. Okay.
Well, it's not called Acts, but it's called something, and it's in the book of Acts.
It's called something.
I forget what it's called.
So we're gonna have a great series entitled Something, and it'll be in the book of Acts.
Yes. I mean, I'm trying to, golly.
Let's just wait. I want our people to know the title of this series. If nothing else, the title, regardless of whether the subtitle is right or not, because I just finally got the subtitle for this last one down. So,
that's right.
Are you ready? Do you have it up yet?
No, my internet isn't working.
Oh, internet's not working. Yeah. Okay, well then let's just call it. We're studying Acts.
We are. We'll be in Acts.
Come on out. We love y'all. Thanks for tuning in today.